This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hello and welcome to Invisible Hate. I am Sadia Khan. I'm so glad that you are joining me in this space, our old and new listeners. For our frequent listeners, I am doing this episode solo as well. Asad is still busy with the launch of his film, Ramadan America. By the way, the film already launched at a watch party at the Muslim House at South by Southwest last Saturday. I'm so proud of the work Asad is doing and his media company, Refillion. By amplifying marginalized voices, they are creating space for shared humanity, for inclusivity, and I'm so proud of him. So he couldn't join us this week, but the good news is he will be joining us next week. Anyways, today's story is a bit different. One that you may or may not consider a crime, but will certainly delve into a discussion on hate. So let's get started. It's 2015. Joseph Azam is the senior vice president of News Corp, as well as the chief compliance officer for News Corp's corporate headquarters, The Wall Street Journal, The New York Post, and HarperCollins. Azam begins to notice a company-wide negative slant in its coverage of nearly all minority groups. Muslims, immigrants, African Americans, Jewish people, you name it. Grievances against these groups tend to be most offensive and outrageous on Fox's opinion shows hosted by the likes of, you guessed it, Tucker Carlson, Jeanine Pirro, Laura Ingraham, and Sean Hannity.
The sky is absolutely falling. We are all doomed.
There is no systemic racism in policing.
Following a series of riots and a stark rise in crime that's linked to the migrants, more kids are being separated from their parents and temporarily housed in what are essentially summer camps.
White supremacy, that's the problem. This is a hoax.
The apocalypse is imminent and you're going to all die. Or at least that's what the media mob would like you to think.
In 2017, Azam engages in a short-lived Twitter debate over immigration with Tucker Carlson. Azam's bosses warn him not to attack others in his media family. He removes his tweet. In 2019, after 2 years, Azam leaves his prominent position in the company due to the increasingly provocative and objectionable coverage. He never signs an NDA. In the same year, he begins to be more vocal about his experience at News Corp, especially after the New Zealand attack on mosques and fatal shooting of an Afghan American man in Indiana. He continues to speak out against racism across the US. This is Invisible Hate. Welcome back to Invisible Hate, a weekly true crime podcast in which Asad and I attempt to uncover the ugly truth behind various hate crimes, both recent and historical. Now, many of the cases that we discuss involve crimes committed against minority groups. Our goal, as always, is to determine through a discussion of nuances and complexities of these unfortunate situations, whether or not these transgressions can be considered hate crimes. So let's delve deep into this case. Our victim today, if you will, is Joseph Azam. Azam is born in Kabul, Afghanistan. His family comes to the United States when he's a toddler. They are refugees fleeing the turmoil from the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. Azam is raised in Queens. He goes to NYU for college, then to law school. In his words, he explains his journey in America. And I quote, "My office at News Corp looked over a corner near Rockefeller Center, where my dad used to sell newspapers," unquote. Our main perpetrator in this story is News Corp, a mass media company owned by Australian-born immigrant media tycoon Rupert Murdoch, who in turn controls Fox News. Technically, following some acquisitions in 2019, News Corp is separate from the owner of Fox News, but it's still heavily influenced by Murdoch's conservative leanings, according to Azam. News Corp and Fox News headquarters share a building in New York City. Fox News, around the time of Azam's revelations, is the most watched cable news network, earning approximately $2.7 billion a year for its parent company. Now, to give our listeners some context, Fox has not always been so extreme. The network begins with earnest efforts to provide news that counters so-called liberal biases. Restraint is practiced by executives in the beginning, and there is an awareness around and implementation of journalistic integrity. Murdoch really wants his working-class network to be tabloid-like, though, delivering opinions that are sensational or fear and anger-based. Fox's old motto, fair and balanced, is dropped in 2017. The conglomerate begins to devolve into something that is almost purely propaganda. Azam notices the rhetoric becoming increasingly more toxic after Trump takes office in 2016.
"To introduce to you the president-elect of the United States of America, Donald Trump."
Iraq is a crappy place filled with a bunch of, you know, semi-literate, primitive monkeys. They can just shut the fuck up and obey, is my view.
Sometimes executives take action, other times they turn a blind eye. Sometimes advertisers pull out, other times they merely state that where they choose to place their ads should not be interpreted as an endorsement. What a cop-out. The largest viewership on Fox News is for the aforementioned opinion shows, and let me tell you, listeners, I have never watched any of these programs. I find them so toxic. The only time I may have gotten a glimpse is when I am at the gym and there is a big TV screen playing Fox News. Anyways, back to the story. Now, fiery monologues help ratings. Around 2018, these hosts begin to catch some flack. Let's take a short break here. When we return, we'll delve into some of these hosts' infamous comments. Welcome back to Invisible Hate. We are going to start with Laura Ingram.
Hello, everyone. I'm Laura Ingram. This is the Ingram Angle from Washington. Thank you so much for joining us.
Ingram starts hosting the Ingram Angle, an evening news and opinion show in late 2017. In 2018, on the show, she compares the detention centers where children are being separated from their families to summer camps. Can you believe it? Take a listen.
"Liberals have seized on the separated children and turned the entire image into a political weapon. Since more illegal immigrants are rushing the border, more kids are being separated from their parents and temporarily housed in what are essentially summer camps."
She also tweets about one of the high school students that survived the mass shooting in Parkland, Florida, who she'd had on her show. She makes fun of him for whining about college admission rejections. Fox does not make any statement. Ingram apologizes, but only following the departure of advertisers on her show. So at the end of the day, everything is connected to, you guessed it right, the bottom line. Then there's Jeanine Pirro.
My name is Judge Jeanine Pirro, and I've been with Fox News since 2006.
She's a former district attorney that joins Fox News in 2006. She hosts Justice with Judge Jeanine, providing legal insights into current events starting in 2011. In 2019, on her show, she questions the allegiance of Representative Ilhan Omar, a congresswoman of Minnesota, because she wears a hijab. Take a listen.
Omar wears a hijab, which according to the Quran 33:59 tells women to cover so they won't get molested. Is her adherence to this Islamic doctrine indicative of her adherence to Sharia law, which in itself is antithetical to the United States Constitution?
Look, guys, I have so many thoughts about this, but here's what I want you guys to do. Asid did a whole episode on Sharia law and how misunderstood it is on his podcast called American Muslim Project. We will share a link to that episode in our show notes, and I highly recommend checking that episode out. Anyways, once Azam publicly voices his problematic encounters at his former employer, the Fox network condemns Pirro's anti-Muslim remarks. I really don't know what that condemnation entailed, but it seems like they did condemn her anti-Muslim stance. Her program goes off air for a weekend. Only a weekend. And she is temporarily suspended. She does not, by the way, apologize, but releases a statement explaining, and I quote, "My intention was to ask a question and start a debate. But of course, because one is Muslim, does not mean you don't support the Constitution." Unquote. Interestingly, she has ties to Trump. Much more on him later. Now, Pirro is also involved in two lawsuits for defamation, including one by a Black Lives Matter activist and as part of a voting company lawsuit where Fox claims they tried, and by they I mean the voting company, tried to rig the election for Biden. Evidence in the latter lawsuit contains an email from a producer warning that Pirro is using conspiracy theories to justify Trump's lies about the election. Fox's lawyers assert reporter's privilege for some of the questions during the deposition, allowing her not to answer. Fox declines to comment on the case, most likely in an attempt not to ostracize her audience or Trump. And then there's arguably the biggest offender, Tucker Carlson.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson. Tonight we're having a lot of gun control debates this week.
Carlson is hired in 2009 as a Fox News contributor. From 2006 to 2011, he continuously calls into the absurdly politically incorrect radio show hosted by Shock Jock, Baba the Love Sponge. What kind of name is that?
It's the Bubba the Love Sponge Show on Howard 101. And we got a whole...
Carlson's misogynist, racist commentary is welcomed by right-wing audiences. His offensive statements are so widespread that it's hard to choose. But let's listen to a few.
Well, I love women, but they're extremely primitive. They're basic. They're not that hard to understand.
This may be a lot of things, this moment we're living through, but it is definitely not about Black lives. And remember that when they come for you, and at this rate, they will.
States.
We decided to take a more detailed look at the link between immigrants and crime in this country.
We really don't have good numbers on the crimes committed by immigrants, illegal and otherwise.
Mexican citizens make up more than 14% of the entire federal prison population.
Why is violent terrorism an inevitability in Europe? There are a lot of Muslims living in Europe now. Who would have thought that all those migrants are having a big effect on the crime rate?
Can you guys believe this man is one of the most popular hosts on television? I'm shocked. I really am shocked. More than shocked, I'm disheartened. I am so disappointed. Anyways, in 2016, he begins hosting his own show, Tucker Carlson Tonight. In 2018, Carlson says on air that he believes immigration makes the US, and I quote, poorer and dirtier and more divided, unquote. And let me point to what I said in the beginning. Remember when I introduced Rupert Murdoch, I said an immigrant? That was intentional. A lot of people don't know this or may not know this, but he is an immigrant. His kids, most of them at least, are immigrants. So is Carlson saying his boss makes America poorer, dirtier, and more divided? Think about it, guys. A lot of times, this is incitement of violence and nothing more. Now, 20 or so advertisers refused to air their ads after this comment. The Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation calls out Carlson's hurtful and dangerous commentary on various marginalized communities, saying, and I quote, "There's no mistaking it. Tucker Carlson's words were ugly, inaccurate, and un-American, and advertisers did the right thing by ending support of him and his show," unquote. Now, Carlson is not intimidated nor swayed by threats of losing ads. He will keep delivering, in his words, the truth, quote unquote. The network defends him, making the following statement, and I quote, "We cannot and will not allow voices like Tucker Carlson to be censored by agenda-driven intimidation efforts from the likes of MoveOn.org, Media Matters, and Sleeping Giants. Attempts were made last month to bully and terrorize Tucker and his family at their home. He is now once again being threatened via Twitter by far-left activist groups with deeply political motives. While we do not advocate boycotts, these same groups never target other broadcasters and operate under a grossly hypocritical double standard, given their intolerance to all opposing points of view," unquote. Regardless, the ads that are dropped are mainly moved to other shows on Fox, creating no revenue loss. Around 2019, offensive clips from Carlson's old calls into the Bubba the Love Sponge show, which again is a very weird name, start to resurface. The network makes no comment. Carlson doesn't apologize. In fact, he thanks executives for backing him. He complains that he's the victim of a liberal mob. Here we go again. And says white people caught for things are automatically accused of being racist, especially by black politicians. Carlson's rhetoric grows increasingly charged and extremist, branching into conspiracy theories and combativeness towards colleagues or anyone who disagrees with him. He also more privately blasts Trump.
Referring to Trump, Carlson says, "I hate him passionately. I can't handle much more of this."
So listeners, it's interesting to me that he doesn't really like Trump either. You would think that they would be best friends, right? Anyways, his comments seem so disgusting and absurd that you have to really wonder if he even believes them himself or if this is just his shtick. Because in TV, Carlson notes, and I quote, "You have to take the most popular point of view all the time." That's the whole idea. whatever the public is for, whoever the majority is for, you gotta be for. So you know what I mean. You're not allowed to take like unpopular or confusing points of view, unquote. So it seems to me he does all of this for the shock value, for popularity, to incite people to side with the so-called popular opinion. How sad is that? Anyways, he not only gets away with his remarks, but has an incredibly loyal audience. Brian Stelter, who writes a book on him, says, and I quote, "Carlson's producers and writers are more loyal to him than to Fox as a network," unquote. Stelter explains how Carlson's very brand is to call someone the C word or any other derogatory term with no consequence, as long as millions tune in. In 2020, Carlson is sued for slander by a woman he claims is extorting money from Trump. But he wins. The judge, who is an appointee of Trump, by the way, essentially agrees with Fox's lawyer that a reasonable viewer of Carlson's show would not take him literally or interpret his words as fact. The judge says his statements aren't actionable. This to me is a complete bullshit. Now, I don't think many of our listeners used to watch Tucker Carlson, but if there is anybody out there who did, could you write to us and tell us how his show impacted you? Whether you took what he suggested or said literally. Would love to hear your thoughts. The interesting thing here is that most of these anchors are giving opinions, right? They are not to be believed, at least according to this judge, even though they are part of the news. But then we should call them entertainers, and they are catering to the most popular viewpoints, right? Then it's not a news channel, not at all. For me, what's hard to understand is how so many viewers can really tune in to such hateful shows and whether or not they are able to parse out fact from fiction. In 2023, Carlson is sued by a producer of his former show saying the workplace is abusive and rampant with bullying, bigotry, and sexism. The network settles for $12 million. I'm happy to note that in April 2023, following the giant lawsuit against the network by the voting equipment company for which Carlson is singled out, he is finally fired. This is despite being the host with the most viewers on cable TV. Now, Lachlan Murdoch, son of Rupert and current chairman of News Corp and Fox Corporation, does not state the motive behind his firing. Listeners, we are going to take another break. When we come back, we'll talk about the media ties with the White House. We are back and we can't talk about Fox without talking about Donald Trump, especially in another election year.
All over the world, they're coming into our country from Africa, from Asia, all over the world, they're pouring into our country.
The two have a long-standing association. They may not like each other, but Rupert Murdoch and Trump are allies in both business and politics. It's said that these two hotheads speak on the phone often during Trump's presidency. Now, the media has historically influenced American politics, but not at all to the extent that it does once Trump takes office. Nicole Hemmer, a scholar of the conservative media's impact on American politics, calls Fox, and I quote, "the closest we've come to having is state TV." Unquote. The network relies on fear to radicalize people. And fact or fiction Trump simply retweets what Fox airs, controlling the disinformation that people receive. Meanwhile, cable ratings tend to spike when there's good news for their audience, so Fox can get a major boost in viewership if Trump shares the right stories. Also, several Fox executives are hired in the administration and vice versa. In July of 2018, the former co-president of Fox News is appointed as Trump's director of communications and deputy chief of staff. Note, I'm calling him former co-president because he was forced out after abetting sexual harassment, cover-ups, payoffs, and victim intimidation at the network. Yeah, let that sink in. In 2019, during a press op at the Mexican border, Fox host Sean Hannity arrives before all other press and appears to be familiar with the Secret Service. Trump then grants Hannity an exclusive interview. It's Hannity's 7th inclusive and Fox's 42nd, compared to 10 total interviews to the 3 biggest competing channels. Trump basically refuses to work with CNN, which he denounces as quote-unquote fake news. The Fox network claims this has all been done by previous presidents and that they are impartial, having challenged Trump's administration in some of their shows, which is a complete BS to me. Anyways, finally, we need to address the role of extremist government watchdog organizations, of which there are many, but I will point out a few. One of the largest is Judicial Watch, a nonprofit conservative activist group that frequently files Freedom of Information Act lawsuits in order to investigate alleged government wrongdoings. The organization has filed suits during both Democratic and Republican presidencies, but leans heavily right-wing and aims to immobilize any supposed enemies. Many claims are said to be bogus and dismissed, but both politicians and like-minded media pick up the story, resulting in disinformation, reduced integrity, and sometimes payouts. These organizations receive money from fellow opponents of their targets. Judicial Watch and fellow conservative watchdogs focus on things like denying climate change and are very anti-CNN, anti-democratic, anti-video game, for example. On the flip side, one of the largest left-leaning organizations is Media Matters. This is a liberal nonprofit organization and media watchdog group that is, quote, dedicated to comprehensively monitoring, analyzing, and correcting conservative misinformation in the United States media, unquote. Carlson has referred to them as a liberal mob. Now, they are aggressive as their counterparts, naming the misinformer of the year who they believe has delivered the most factual errors. This group and similar watchdogs like the Center for American Progress tend to be anti-Fox, anti-Twitter, anti-white supremacy, not a bad thing, and anti-Limbaugh, for instance. Like most things in the country, these groups go after the money. Extremist hosts often have the largest audiences, but also make advertisers uncomfortable, who in turn, by the way, are worried about their own customer and finances. Sponsors and networks get publicly scrutinized by these activist groups, shaming advertisers and calling for boycotts. While on the far left sides, they do highlight false accusations as the far right, both liberal and mainstream news networks are more likely to vet or ignore highly suspect content. Now, although I have mentioned a couple of far-left sites, I will say this. According to a neutral fact-checking organization, PolitiFact, conservative news outlets will play off of viewer bias and rely more on propaganda. case studies show that right-wing distortions spread easily from extremist sites to mass media outlets like Fox, and they rarely get corrected. So listeners, I know I've given you a lot of information to process, synthesize, understand. But this brings me to our usual question. Is there a hate crime here? Are there any legal repercussions? Look, again, I wish Asad was here to deliberate with me, but I will point out a few things. We know that networks like Fox News have obvious biased rhetoric. There is a recurring white supremacy angle on network. They have undeniable influence over viewers that will take their reporting as gospel. And we do have evidence from producers that content is inappropriate. Like, think about it, a network that dehumanizes immigrants all the time is created by an immigrant. How fucked up is that? Now, on the flip side, there are rare legal consequences or prosecution, and Fox does check the diversity box by hiring employees from minority groups and sometimes hosts stuff for shock value. And at the end of the day, we have to remember the bottom line is driving everything. It's the money, right? Here's what I want you guys to think about. Now, we know that Fox has had sponsors dropped. That's a good thing. We know that many hosts have been sued for defamation and that Fox has been sued on behalf of hosts like Garson. People have lost their jobs. But my question to all of you is, at what other price have these celebrities been allowed to make up news? How many biases have extremist media figures or organizations played on and worsened? How many have inspired and incited hate crimes? That's the actual question. The more we've done this show, the more we've asked ourselves how some people develop so much hate in their heart for a person or a group they are often not even familiar with. Look, biased words can lead to biased and often violent behavior, as we see time and again. Of course, all news is skewed to some extent. Even our podcast, we do look at things through a certain angle, but we hold ourselves accountable to higher standards, higher ethical and moral standards. We try to be as accurate as we can. We honor victims. We try not to sensationalize stories. So at the end of the day, the question we should all be asking is, should opinion shows merely be viewed as entertainment? Do we agree that right-wing audiences are more influenced by propaganda? Would love, love, love to hear all your thoughts. Write to us, ping us. We would love for you to partake in this very important, crucial discussion, especially in the election year. As for what's the latest, other employees from conservative media outlets have followed suit after Azam resigning because of, and I quote, increasing polarization and paranoia among their viewers, unquote. Fox itself may end up suing Carlson for breach of contract regarding his new show on Twitter. Who knows? However, the reality is that Fox News Network is not going anywhere. And the divide in this country is bigger than ever. It runs so deep that we are unable to see humanity and empathy in each other. Thank you so much for listening to Invisible Hate. If you want to learn more, check out the links in the show notes, including the episode that I talked about. Please do email us your thoughts on this story or any other story that you think we should cover. You can reach us at info@invisiblehatepodcast.com. You can also tweet us or hit us up on Instagram. Just search for Invisible Hate Podcast. Thanks again for listening. If you like what you hear, please share with a friend. Invisible Hate is a joint production of Refilion Media and Immigrantly Media. We would like to thank our team, which includes Michaela Strother, Lindsay Gamble, Emmanuel Monahan, and Paroma Chakravarti. Our music is done by Simon Hutchinson. Hopefully, I will be back with Asad next week for another hate crime for us to analyze. Until next time, I am Sadia Khan.